That the first type of competition, and that's when someone asks you to do something to them as a shliach, and you, when you get there to make that purchase, you decide that you want to keep it for yourself. So the Gemara calls that a minig ramos. Right? You acquire it, but it's a minig ramos to take it for yourself if he sent you. So he explained based on the note of Yehuda that was like a breach of trust. He's relying on you to do something, and you fail to do it. You're caught a ramai. We made a chiluk that if you used his money, it wouldn't even work. We would say that what you purchased was really for the mishaleach because he made you the shliach and you used his money, and it becomes his property. But if you use your money, so it's a minig ramaos. So that's last week's sugya. Tonight's case, we're going to do a different case of competition, and this comes up all the time. I'll tell you the case from the Mishpat Techol Yaakov, and we can apply it to contemporary cases. His case was, this was in Eretz Yisrael, they build these new neighborhoods, right? And they have a big sign up that who the agent is. So Reuven had gone to the agent and made an agreement for a certain dira over there, and the agent said, okay, fine, but now you have to just settle with the builder, with the contract, with the owner of the property.
Kablan,
right. So in the meantime, Shimon short-circuited the process. He went straight to the Kablan, he went straight to the contractor, the builder, and he purchased that property. He made a contract on that property. When Reuven found out, he said, that's not fair. I already had negotiated with the agent like I was supposed to. I had done all the rules. I negotiated with the agent, and I should get it. And Shimon says, too bad, I have the first signed contract. So that was the Shaila over there. And in the meantime, the contractor, so Reuven was, Shimon felt bad about it, and he was willing to back down, and the contractor said, if you back down, you're going to lose your deposit. And Shimon came to this Mishpat Techol Yaakov the Dayan and asked him what he should do. Is he mechuyev to give up the sale and give up his deposit? Or can he keep it and he didn't do anything wrong? And the Shaila contemporary terms is, very simply put, if you are negotiating to buy a house, at what point is it usur for someone else to step in and try to outbid you? And at what point, right, that's the main Shaila, because once you made a kinyan, so then there's nothing to talk about. Right? We spoke about in the past, when do you actually acquire the house? We said it's not when you write the contract, it's certainly not when you put in a down payment, that you actually acquire it at the time of final settlement. So after that, there's nothing that anyone could do. It's your house right now. Before that, though, at what point before that do other people have to stop stepping in? Is it after the contract? Now you'll say, but let me put in another contract in case that one falls through. Is it before they sign a contract? They're just negotiating, they're talking there. When is it that you're not allowed to step in and try to outbid the first person? Okay, so let's first see the Gemara. The Gemara in Kedushin Nuntes. This is the Gemara right after the Gemara we learned last week. Rav Gidol have a mahapich bahel ara. Rav Gidol was trying to buy a certain land, property. Also Rav Abba went, not knowing that Rav Gidol was trying to get it, and Zavdan, he bought it for himself. Also Rav Gidol went, Kiblei the Rav Zeira, he complained to Rav Zeira, look what's going on over here. Right, Rav Gidol says, I was trying to get the house, the property, and Rav Abba went and snuck it away from me. Also Rav Zeira, the Kiblei Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, Rav Zeira said it over the case of Yitzchak Nafcha. Amar Lei, and Rav Yitzchak Nafcha said, Hamti Nacha Yala Sling Lereg, let's wait until they come to us at the Yontiv. So Kisalik, so when they visited, Ashkeche, he found it. So Amar Lei, so Rav Yitzchak Nafcha asked Rav Abba, Oni Mahavich B'Charara, suppose you have a poor person trying to get a Charara, he's trying to get a cookie, a cake, and then someone, before he made the kinyan, someone else went and got it from the Baal HaBayis before he did. My, what's the din? Amar Lei, Rav Abba answered, Nikar Rasha. That's a rishus. you have this oni trying to get something, and you try and sneak it away from him, that's called a rasha. So he asked him, Elamar, my time of it, say, why you, Rav Abba, why did you take the field away from Gittel? Amalei, so he said, Lahavi Adan, I didn't know he was trying to get it. So Yisrael Nafsa said, Hashanami, Neis V'Nealei, so give it to him, Neumar, give it to him now. So Amalei, Rav Abba said, Zavuni, Lamizabninola, I don't want to sell it to him, the Ara, Kamaisihi, because this is the first land I ever purchased. Well, Sam, the Mils is not a good simon to sell the first thing you ever bought. It'll cause me a hefsid moment later on. It's not a good idea to sell the first thing you buy. But he bought nishakli. I'll give it to him as a present. I don't want to be called a rasha. Rav Gidol and Achis Rav Gidol didn't want to take it for free, because it says v'soni matanas yichya. People that hate matanas, they will live. He didn't want to take the matan, and that'll be a bad simon for him. Rav Abba lo nachis l'mishum dehapich bar Rav Gidol. Rav Abba didn't want to keep it because Rav Gidol had tried to get it, and he didn't want to be called. We'll see why. Lamai nachis lo, lamai nachis lo. Neither of them went to it. And it's Karya Arad Rabbanan, and it was became called the land of the Rabbanan, the people in the yeshiva, they would go. It was Hefker for whoever, or the Talmidim of the yeshiva, whoever wanted to take it, because neither would take it. So this is the halacha of Ani Yonapich Becharara. The Gemara clearly says that if someone is trying to purchase a property, and a second one comes and takes it, Becharara, even if he doesn't know about it, we'll talk about that soon, he's called a Rasha. Right, that's what the Gemara says. Rashi says this applies whether it's a purchase like the Gemara's case or he's trying to get something from Hefker. No matter what it is, if someone's trying to get something and you try to take it away from them, you're called a Rasha.
How can a person be called a Rasha and no not?
Yeah, so it's we'll talk about that. Yeah, we'll see that. Tosfos, well, first we want to talk about where it applies. Tosfos says, he has a kasha in this Gemara about Metziah I have at the end of the handout. It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if someone finds a Metziah and he falls on it to try to acquire it, but he didn't make a kinyan yet. When another guy came and he grabbed it away. The one that grabbed it made the kinyan, and the first one loses out. So Tosfos asks, why should it be that the second one gets it? We just said that there's a halacha of ani yohamahapech b'chavrara, that you're not allowed to take something from someone that's trying to get something here. He's mamish falling on it. So Tosus gives a yisod. Huh? Okay, good. We'll get there also. So Tosus gives a tarot. Tosus answers that we see from here that the din of ani yohamahapech b'chavrara only applies to something that you're trying to buy. Because we say, why are you buying this one over here? Go buy it somewhere else. Why take the thing that I'm trying to buy? You can get a house somewhere else. Why take this house? But if it's a one-of-a-kind metziah, you found something in the street, so you can't say, go find a metziah somewhere else. You're not going to find something somewhere else. So in that case, Tosu says, you're not called a Rasha. And they explain, the Buchacher, the Kesef Kedoshim, explains that, like, V'hafta l'reacha kamocha applies when it doesn't cause a loss to you, but over here where you're going to lose something, chayecha kodin, you have to take care of yourself first. So Tosu says it doesn't apply to something that's hefker. So this is a big machlokus. The Shulchan Aruch paskins the Shulchan Aruch brings both shitas down. The Ramah paskins like Tosu's lakula. There's a shaila exactly what the Shulchan Aruch holds, and the Siva says he agrees with Tosfos, but most of the Sephardi poskim hold that Shulchan Aruch is really paskening like Rashi, and says that there's across the board chiyuv isser of trying to get something that someone else is trying to get, whether it's hefker or metziah or anything else. Certainly a mecher, it applies across the board. The Ramah though clearly says the halacha is like Tosfos, it only applies to things that you can get somewhere else. Why take this one? Go get another one. But if it's something that's not available somewhere else, so then it doesn't apply. Tosfos asks from above Metziah. You found the Metziah and you fell on it. You can keep it. So the Ramban, first of all, he says, you see from Tosfos, that Tosfos holds the din of Ani Yomach B'Chavrara means that if you wrongly take it, you have to give it back, because otherwise Tosfos wouldn't have any kasha. And the Ramban disagrees and says, you know why Tosfos it does not have a kasha? That's because halacha really is, if someone goes and elbows someone out of it and takes it himself, he's a kara rasha, but Besen can't force him to take it away. So there is Rabbeinu Tam Zvili Adas Yochid in this, most posts can hold that even where the second person was wrong in pushing out the first one, he's called a Rasha, but he's allowed to keep the property. Now, we always talk, we come to the shiur, we want to know what's right to do, to be good guys. So to us, it doesn't really make a difference because, I could keep it, but I don't want to be called a Rasha either. So, that Pesach Roshan says, even though most poskim, that's what I have on the handout here, even though most poskim disagree with Rabbeinu Tam, but still, you don't want to be called a Rasha, so you don't want to keep it. So the best thing to do is to return it, not to be called a Rasha. Over here, we're in the case that we're talking about by the Kablan in Eretz Yisrael, right? That case, the second person, Shimon, didn't know that there was a Reuven around. So can we call him a Rasha when he doesn't know that there's a first person around? Right? Maybe the holding of Oni Hamabidichalara applies where you're a real Rasha, you're trying to get something away from someone. But where you don't know that other person exists, who says you're called a Rasha? Right? So what can you say from our Gemara? The Gemara seems to say that Rav Abba didn't know about it, and still Rav Yitzchak Nachla said you're a Rasha.
That where the rishus comes in is if you don't give it back. That the sale is foul.
Right.
But the person is called a Rasha if he stands on the
right.
Sale.
So you see that you're called a Rasha even though you didn't know about it. Because I might have said, and there are poskim that say that, the Chenda Shlomo I have written near the base of Ephraim, they both say that you can't even call him a Rasha if he's a Shogeg. We're not dealing with, right, there was no sale yet. We're just saying you're a Rasha if you try to take something away from someone who was there first. But if I didn't know that he was there, how can you call me a Rasha? What do you do with the Gemara? The Gemara, they called Rav Abba a Rasha, so they say that the Gemara meant, you're talking about Rav Abba. Rav Abba certainly should do a Midas Chasidus. He's saying, if by Anani it's called a Rasha, so over here at least he should do a Midas Chasidus and then not keep something that someone else was trying for.
But he didn't know.
Right. So, what? He did not know. So really, the base of Ephraim, the Chenda Shlomo are saying, Me'ikar Adin, Meikar Adin, he's not called a Rasha there.
What's he called?
Right. So he says he's called a Rasha, and then he said, why are you doing it?
Right.
The Pasha is.
It's not a Rasha because I didn't know.
Oh, so that's one way to learn it. So, but why did he say then? So at least return it now.
It's
still
good.
You
see it.
Okay, so
you
say
me.
Well, what's the key to return it? Even if you're a Rasha, you know, I don't have a key to return it.
That's the point at which you become a Rasha if you do.
So you're saying that you.
When you find out, do you return it or not?
So you're saying. So there's two ways of looking at the Gemara now. The way they're looking at the Gemara, they're saying, once you don't know about it, you're not a Rasha anymore. And the whole conversation was to do a Minas Chasinus and return it anyway. You're saying to look at the Gemara that's saying that even though you're a Shogeg, Rav Abba, you didn't know about it, okay, but now you know about it, now you are a Rasha unless you return it.
Unless you return it.
Right.
And when you refuse to return it, that's
when you're a Rasha, right? So there's two ways to look at this Gemara.
Sell the first piece of land.
That's right. Good.
But still, if it was called a Rasha for it, we would have done it.
So there's a machlokus, how to understand that. So, and that's another machlokus. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Right? He's asking good. Right? Okay. So Rav Abba. So because it's not a good simon, you're not going to give it back. You won't be called a Rasha. So Rav Moshe understands it by saying, you're not a Rasha because Rav Abba, he offered to give it away for free because he's so worried that Sonny Matonas Yechia, so therefore I'm not mechuyev to have a bad simon. I'm giving it to him. And when I give it to him and he refuses it, I'm no longer a Rasha. I will do whatever I can. That's Rav Moshe's psak. This Mishpatech Yaakov, he's going against Rav Moshe, which, I think certainly us in America, we would agree with Rav Moshe at the end, but he says, you see from this Gemara, that you're not called a Rasha when it was a Shogeg and it's going to cost you money, when it's going to be a Hefsid moment. Right? That's what he says you see from this Gemara. Right? Because, right, we're at this point. So now, Rav Abba, why didn't you turn it back? So there's three possible reasons why Rav Abba did not give it back after he found out. According to the Chanda Shlomo and the Beis Ephraim, he didn't return it because when you didn't know about a first guy, you're not called a Rasha at all. There's nothing to worry about. Rav Moshe said, he dismisses the Chanda Shlomo and he says, of course he's a Rasha, even though he didn't know about it. And the reason he didn't have to return it, the reason he didn't mind being called a Rasha was because he's not, why is he not called a Rasha? It's because he offered it for free. What more does he have to do? He refuses it, so that's his problem. And this in between, this Mishpatech Yaakov wants to say, it's his Chiddush, and I don't think he has the same way as Rav Moshe. He wants to say that you see from here that when you were a shogeg and it's going to cost you money, you're not called a Rasha. You don't even have to give it back to avoid being called a Rasha. Rav Moshe says, you see from this that even though you didn't know about the first person, it doesn't make a difference whether you know or not. He says the Shulchan Aruch never said anything about knowing or not knowing. The first one that starts talking about these later Achronim, and Rav Moshe says there is no difference in halacha. The idea here is if someone is trying to get something and you go step in and take it away from him, so you are called a Rasha whether you knew about it or not.
No,
Rav Abba was not called
away from him. You know about it.
Well, but I'm saying you do something which stops him from getting your Kota Rasha.
But if you give it back, you would be Rasha.
And if you give it back, you're not a Rasha. Rav Abba did not give it back because he offered to give it back for free. He's not Mechuyev to sell it back and have a bad simon. He's. Yeah, you see that over here.
Like in our own case, in the original case, with Ruben Shimon, even though he's going to lose his deposit, you have to give it up.
It would seem like that. It would seem that he would disagree. The Mishpatech Yaakov Paskins in his case.
Shimon can't say, buy me up my deposit and I'll let you have it.
Yeah, so that was wondering whether, Mishpatech Yaakov Paskins, based on his Svara, that in his case that he invented or that happened with him, is that Shimon wasn't Mechuyev, I'm confusing the names, but Shimon wasn't Mechuyev to give up the property because he had already given a down payment and he didn't know about the first person, and we combine when you don't know about it and you would cost you money, you're not called a Rosh, there's no chiv to lose money for something you didn't know about. Rav Moshe would say that even though it's going to cost you money, l'chora, you still have to give it back. My shaila is, would Rav Moshe hold, at least Shimon should compensate, the Reuven should compensate for it, maybe that, I don't know. He doesn't say, in his case, there wasn't any real loss of money, it was just someone who lost a job. That's what he was talking about. He said a person was mechuyev to give up a job because the first one was trying to get it. Right, that was his case. So even though it was a hefsa for him, he still said that, and he didn't know about it, he still said the first one has to give it up. So at this point, it seems like a pretty strict halacha that, especially if we go with Rav Moshe, that whenever you find out, whenever you purchase something, even though you purchased it, you made a kinyan, but if you find out that there was another person trying to purchase it, you won't have to give it back. Al pi halacha, the Besim can't force you to give it back, but you're called a Rasha. If you don't, by the way, then what's the implications of being called a Rasha? The implications of being called a Rasha, the Sma says, is that they'll announce it in the Beis HaKnesses, and others say that he's possible to Eidus. That means that if you're Eid at a Kedushin and you ended up getting something that someone else could have had, it's not a good Kedushin. I think it's probably too late then. And he didn't know, so what can he do? Okay, but it's not over yet. It's not over yet. Okay, so let's talk about that. There's a right. Where do you draw the line? Right, where do you draw the line? Like, does it mean that the first time, this is what the Mordechai says, does this mean that if I want to sell my house, the first person that sees the house now is going to win it because he's now trying to get it, and anyone else that comes afterwards is going to be on him having a b'charara.
$20,000
and
someone says, I'll give you
$105,
and someone says, well, I'll get closer to what you want.
You right.
Have this price, and people are making you offer.
Right, so the Mordechai says that because of Takanas Hashuk, you can't say that if the seller wants to show it to other people, you can't say that there's a din of ani yamav. As long as the seller wants to keep on showing it to other people, there's it's still on the market. There's no problem. The Ramah Paskins is, the way the Ramah puts it, he says, until there's a Pisuk Damim, until they've agreed on a price, and the other post can add that all the other contingencies and everything is all settled, they decide when and where and how, until there's a meeting of the minds, until there's an agreement, then there's no iser vani mafiv chalra because it's still on the market, and that's for the good of the mocher. The seller needs to have people coming in. So until there has been a final decision to buy it, so there's no iser vani mafiv chalra, huh? I don't think so, because it's a midas chasidus at the expense of the seller, right? If there be such a midas chasidus, I put my house on the market. One person comes in, and now no one's going to come to me anymore because the first guy came in. Now the next time someone wants to sell a house, they say, "Hey, this is a good deal." So I'm not going to offer him what he wants. I'm going to offer him a little bit less, you know. And okay, so the Ruma says there has to be a pisuk damim. Now, Pisuk Shuva brings a drisha that says it doesn't mean that everything has to be completely settled. He says that if they're negotiating, one said the lashon of the drisha, the one says I'll give you $4, the other says I want $6, and they're saying okay, $5. You know, they're still talking, and if you would leave them alone, you know they're on the way to making it.
So they're just saying, okay, what day do you want to close? You know,
right.
Oh, I want to close on the 15th.
That's right.
Oh, the 20th.
Right. So.
But they don't even know, okay, we're going
to
close at some
They're point. Already agreeing to do business with each other. This this was just happened the other day. There was someone looking at a house. He bought a house that they knew at that point. They said that, okay, we made a deposit. We gave them a contract. We still have to see. They didn't accept it yet. They had to show it to their lawyer. But we agreed that if there's any problems, we'll work them out. Right? So there's no signed contract. Certainly, and even that wouldn't be a kinyan. But there's not even a signed contract. There's nothing yet. But at that point, I think the Drisho and Pisuk Shuv would be saying that that's called enough of a piece of damim that to step in there and offer more would be Oni Amabi
B'Chararo. He could have got down low. You would have gave him the first
thing. Deposit, as we said, that's not a kinyan kesef yet, because halach is that when there's a malkin to write a shtar, so then the kesef is not a kinyan until you have a shtar. And we said in America, where the contract when you make the contract, it says that the land will be conveyed from the buyer to the seller upon settlement and consideration of the money through giving a deed, that's clearly saying that the kinyan is made when the buyer gets the deed from the seller at settlement. So al pi halacha, it wouldn't be a kinyan because it's not smichas das yet. And what you're saying in the words of what you're writing, what you're signing, is saying that the kinyan is going to be later. So certainly there's no kinyan yet. But ani ma'abek l'chara, it has nothing.
You see me on the east.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. The whole din is before. Once there's a kinyan made, there's no ani ma'abek l'chara. It just belongs to the first guy. We're talking where there is no kinyan yet. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about. But on the other hand, we're saying it has to be that there's been an agreement, or at least they're on their way to making an agreement, right? It has to, meeting other minds, right? It has to be something at least. Okay, so at this point, that also wouldn't help his case or the case we're talking about. A simple, you know, contemporary case. These people were on the way, and then someone called Ed and said, you know, I hear you have a house for sale. I'll offer you $200,000, $20,000 more than the other one. So that at that point, it'll be Ani Amahapi B'Chavara. Now, by the way, the mocher doesn't have any yisr. The seller, let's look at the seller at that case, right? He made a meeting of the minds with this person for $180,000. They didn't do the contract. Maybe they did the contract. They didn't. But they're certainly on the way. They're going to show their lawyers. We'll meet tomorrow. We'll fix everything up. And that night, they get a call for $200,000. Is a seller allowed to change his mind? Yes, so that's one thing. I didn't see anyone talk about Lifnei Iver. Right? It could be that, you know, there's this famous Nesivus that holds that if someone does an Issa D'Rabbanan by accident, B'Shogeg, he doesn't realize it was an Issa D'Rabbanan, he doesn't need to do tshuva. Right, there's this famous Nesivus. So it could be that this din of Ani Amapi B'Chararo, most Pesukim say, is the Rabbanan. Right, it's not Gezel D'Oraisa, it's the Rabbanan. So he doesn't know about it. So maybe if he never finds out about it, so he never will be called a Rasha. It's only someone Tainas, so then he has to do something to avoid becoming a Rasha. But at this point, like you were saying before, when I find out there's someone there and I'm not doing it, so then I'm a Rasha. But until I find out, maybe I'm not called a Rasha. So it could be that's why they don't talk about there being with the Iver. But there's another issue, and that's what we spoke about in a couple months ago, we spoke, there's a din called Mechusar Amana. Right? We said that even though there's no kinyan made, but as soon as there is the same words, Pisuk Damim, there's a meeting of the minds, for what either the buyer or the seller to renege on the sale is called Mechusar Amana. The next stage we said was once money was paid, even though it doesn't affect the kinyan by Metaltalin, then it's Mishapara. But just once there's an agreement, if there's agreement to do something, and you renege on it, you're called a Mechusar Amana. However, we said, if the one who wants to renege is doing it because he found it cheaper somewhere else, or he found he could sell it more expensive to another person, there's a different shahr, there's a Machlokas HaPoskim, and the minig seems to be the Bimekel. That, so in this case, here, right, he's agreed to sell it for 180, and now he finds out he could sell it for 200, so according to many poskim, he won't be called a Mechusar Amana, because it's understandable, you know, I find out I could sell it more, and we didn't really finish yet, I'm not a Mechusar Amana. And certainly, if they had an agreement, he said, I have to talk to my wife about it, we'll have to see, you know, so then you didn't even have an agreement yet, but even if you had an agreement, according to many poskim, there wouldn't be a Mechusar Amana at that point, so... Looking from the mocher's perspective, there wouldn't be an isser of, they don't talk about lefnei iver, and the mechusar amana you'd have to deal with if there is some hetter. But if it was just, you know, some other reason why he's giving it to the other person, then it doesn't help him any, so then he certainly would be a mechusar amana.
And is there any problem with, say, going back to the original, guy said 180, and someone else called him and said, I'll give him 200. So go back to the original guy and say, okay, someone else offered me 200. So now, it's going to cost you, and you're going to lose, and maybe you can have a turn on the other guy, it's costing you $20,000.
Right.
And the matter is, at least you're getting the plate, at least you're getting the house.
I think you still be called a Mechusar Amana. Unless you say that you're not called a Mechusar Amana because, right, we'll bend on that machlok. Because if you hold that I'm allowed to sell to the second guy, you certainly can go to the first guy and say, match the price. That might be the best thing to do. Right? And you have the Herger said it probably isn't such a terrible thing. You have the house is for sale and he's offering. Meantime, you hear another offer. You haven't decided yet. It's still not finished. So the seller might not be doing anything wrong. The buyer, though, if he would know about it, right, the case we said, he sees the car outside and he says, whatever they offered, I'll beat it, right, that could be a real case of Aniyah Matech Becharara, because assuming that they are negotiating and they're on their way, you know, if they were, and so then he didn't assume Aniyah Matech Becharara. The third point I want to talk about, right, we talked about he didn't know about it, Shogeg, we said, that's not much of a heter according to Ramosha. We spoke about just now, there hasn't been a final meeting of the minds yet, there's no aniyam hapev harara. The third thing, and we spoke briefly in the beginning, we saw this machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, whether it applies to a mitziyah or not. Right? The Ramah Paskins, like Tosfos, said it, the isser does not apply to a mitziyah, one of a kind item. And Rashi, and it seems like the Shulchan Aruch, Paskins said it does. Now, the Ramah extends Tosfos's kula one step further, and he says, not only does it apply to a metziah, it also applies to a metziah, right? A metziah, like we call a metziah, that you found this thing, that house for $150,000 in Ranchley, so that's a metziah, even though there might be other houses available, but to find it for that price, that's a metziah. So the Ramah extends the halach, the kula of the Ramah, to something that's cheap. Something that you found something cheap, that's like a metziah. It's one of a kind thing to find something so cheap. The Shach though says, even according to Tosfos, he disagrees. He brings a Ramban that says Beferish not like that. That even according to Tosfos said it applies to sales, it applies to all sales. So you got it cheaper, but you're still buying it. Don't buy my thing, buy it someone else's, so you have to pay more. But this is my thing, you can get a house somewhere else, don't buy mine. If it's a mitziah, if it's for free, then I can say you're not going to find any mitziah anywhere else. You're not going to find something for free anywhere else. So then, that's where Tosfos says it doesn't apply, but it would apply over here. A third issue, and this is what you were talking about before, would be, in this section, the third issue would be, it's not cheaper, but they're not available. Suppose houses simply are not available. Pesach Choshen says that it happens, Bismanenu, that there are tkufos, we know about these tkufos, there are tkufos where it's hard to find houses to buy, right? It's a seller's market, and you can't find a house, and one house goes for sale, and you have 40 people looking, because there's literally no other houses around. So Pesach Choshen brings Machlokas Achronim there also, whether we can extend Tosfos' heter to situation where it's not cheaper and it's something you're buying, but it's something that's not available anywhere else. Or like you're saying, it's the type that you need and the other one isn't something that you would want. So, right? Yeah, we're talking. Yeah, there are houses to buy. You know, I can find houses for you in the inner city. But we're talking over here, right? There are no houses in the Jewish neighborhoods. What? Right, so there's also a machlokas. Pesachim brings a machlokas, whether it could apply there also. The nice in this shidduchim are a little bit different, but that's different. Ramesha talks about shidduchim. Yeah, so that I want to say this is different than last week's sugya, right? Last week we were talking about minig ramos. So forget everything over here. Let's say we paskin like Tosfos, and we paskin that it was a shogeg, it's okay, and we paskin that it wasn't finished pitzug damim. But how about last week? We learned that, right, last week the guy that sent him to marry himself, and he did for his son, and he married him for himself, or the other case where he sent him to buy land and he bought it for himself, so we said it was minig ramos, except over there it was because he wouldn't sell it to the first one. So over there, the first one hadn't made any piece of gum, and then this second one might have been, it wasn't a shogeg, but it was, so it might have been the one of a kind of dover hefker. So it seems that there are different ways of answering. The Chassam Sofer, the Atzmas Yosef, both answer that the din of minig ramos only applies where someone sent you as a shliach and you breach his trust. That's where minig ramos. So it has nothing to do with competition. It has to do where someone's relying on you and you breach his trust, you failed him. That's when there's a din of ramos. Over here, all these cases, I wasn't that person's shliach. I have nothing to do with him. So the din of ramos doesn't apply. And also the other way, also they say it doesn't work. In other words, why last week's cases? Why isn't there a din of ani yamata ben charara? Rabbi Barbachana sent Rav to buy the field for himself, and Rav took it for himself instead of giving it for Rabbi Barbachana. So we said that's only a minig ramos. Why isn't it a din of ani yamata ben charara? And the answer is because Rabbi Barbachana didn't do anything. He just sent Rav, go get it for me. He wasn't being mahapich after it. Right? These are two different halachas. There are others that disagree, but this is, I think, a simple way of understanding it. The last week's halacha we were talking about, when I am a shliach, so then I should carry out my shlichas, otherwise I'm a ramai. I breach that person's trust. This week we're looking, if someone's trying to get something and there was a piece of gummim already, and you know and you snatch it from him, that's aniyam habib b'chavar, that's nikur rasha, and that could be worse. That's a rishus. Also, last week we saw that Noda Behuda calls him a rasha minigramas also. But those are two separate sugyas. This Mishpat Shlomo has a similar case that the first person offered, he got a bargain, $200,000. It was selling for $250,000, he got it for $200,000, and the second one wanted to get such a bargain, so he could sell something so cheap. So he says it's like a svek sveka. First of all, the shaila, whether we paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam or Rashi by Yemitziya. And even if we paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam and say that the halacha only applies by mecher, not by Yemitziya, but maybe we don't agree with the Ramah's extension of the Ravina time and say that something cheap is called a Mitziah also. So he wanted to be machmer in such a case also. And the Maaseh Ramosha is very machmer in all of these, and he was machmer in these cases. So just to review what we had, we learned that there is this din of ani hamapir b'chavar like the Gemara's. We said that there's no Besdin can't force, according to most poskim, Besdin can't force you to take it away from you because it's a rasha, but you didn't buy it yet. It's not a gezel. So Besdin can't force you to take it. That we learned, then you can't force him. But we don't want to be called a rasha, so we have to be careful not to be called a rasha. So we talked about three possibilities why we might not call a rasha under certain circumstances. The first we said, maybe the second I don't know about it, that the first guy was looking at it. So the shaila was how to understand the Gemara in Kedushin. Why was Rav Abba allowed to keep the land? Some say because it was a shogeg, he wasn't called a rasha. Rav Moshe dismisses that, and Rav Moshe says, no, it's still called a rasha. It doesn't make a difference, a shogeg or a mezi, whether you knew or didn't. As soon as you find out, you should give it back. And that's what Rav Abba did. Rav Abba offered to give it back for free, and the fact he didn't take it for free doesn't make him have to sell it to him if he doesn't want to. He's willing to give it for free, and he refuses that that's enough. The second issue we discussed was that the halacha only applies when there has been a meeting of the minds. Meeting of the minds meaning doesn't have to be a final decision, but they're on the way, they're on the derech to making a decision, to making a final decision. So that is a second condition to have for ani amach v'charara. Then we said there could be a kulam, either like Tosfos says that it does not apply to a mitziyah. The Ramal extends it that it doesn't apply to something cheap. Other poskim apply that it doesn't apply. They extend it doesn't apply to something that's one of a kind that you can't find. It's very hard to find, like a house in today's times. So there are kulas like that. But the mice is, there are those that disagree with those kulas. And if you ever have such a shaila, you should ask a shaila, because it's not worth becoming a rasha misafek, and with all the consequences.